Assault.
As these old amigo.
It's time.
I think they could give us a new name. I believe we are Evan Jellyfish.
Hey, we have Pass the Salt.
Pass the Salt.
We need salt over here.
It's time for Pass the Salt.
Pass the Salt.
But we like to share the gospel without any backbone to it, see?
The views, opinions, and seemingly outrageous comments expressed on this program are based on the Holy Spirit leading of a man called Coach.
I gotta ask you this out there, Christian America.
It's time for Pass the Salt with a coach, Dave Dobenmeyer.
Well, man, I look at the darkness here. I look old. So many shadows. I got big bags under my eyes. Got my hat on. Lights come on. I'm in Boise, Idaho, folks. It's really early in the morning here. I feel like I'm some of those good, faithful guys like Tim out here in Oregon. I'm same time. Hey, Tim, same time zone this morning. Good morning, Tim. It's what time is it? It's 5 o'clock here. Been up a couple hours already, getting show prep going, ready to roll. We're at the Hear the Watchman conference in Boise, Idaho. It's going to be one of those shows. Sometimes I know, sometimes that I know that I know that I know. I'm going to give a tip of the cap real quick to JR. The guys handled the show without me yesterday. I didn't get a chance to review it. But the whole idea is when I stepped away from the camera, I said, listen, JR, I'm going to let you do it so you can find out how good I am. Because you ain't going to be able to do it as good as that. That's a joke. So I hope everything went great yesterday. We are here at the Watchman Conference expecting 400, 500 people coming from all over America. I got so much stuff to share with you today. I really do. I don't even know where to begin. I'm in the hotel lobby because nobody'd be up. Why would anybody be up at 5 o'clock? Nobody's up yet. So I'm down here. I can be as loud as I want to, as boisterous as I want to, and say whatever the heck I want to. And so we're ready to get rolling here. Jared, I look on my screen. I don't know why it is. You got that picture of Rodney Brown there. I got that. There you go. I got that thing off of the front. There you go, bud. Thanks. Thanks, Jared. Hey, listen, I got a couple things I got to show you before I really get into what I really want to get into. That sounds nuts. I left my glasses up in the room, so I got a different pair on, but they glow. So unless I pull them down here, I'm a pretty vain guy here, so I don't know how I'm going to pull this off. Maybe put them up there, whatever. Do the best you can here. Boy, oh boy, are the trolls after us. It is so good, man. It is so good. And as I said yesterday, hey, come on, God haters. Bring it on, man. If you think the guys in this queue are those sissy pastors that you guys run into, all of those weak-kneed, wussy Christian men you run into, hey, you're barking up the wrong tree, chief. Well, ain't that? I want you all to know, every one of you, every time I get one of your emails from me, I get more and more committed, more and more committed. And you know what else I love too? I love you trolls out there who love to go on there. For some reason, you love to say that I'm a closeted homosexual and that I molest little boys. First of all, if I did, wouldn't that be good? From your standpoint, wouldn't I be one of you guys? Why would you point out that I was doing that if that's a good thing? You should say, oh, Coach is one of us. He secretly, he's one of us. He likes little boys. Why do you guys even do that? You know, dime school psychology is what it is, you know? Oh my goodness. It's unbelievable. It's unbelievable. So the trolls are after us. They're threatening lawsuits. They're threatening all this kind of stuff. We live in a crazy world. And I have a theory on it. Here's really what I think it is. Hey guys, I said this really quickly. I can't remember whether it was on the show. I've been speaking to so many people around here. I want to say this again. I'm sorry if this bounces, table's bouncing here a little bit. I'll quite try to quit pounding on so much. I think the left, you know, the scripture tells us that like the men of Issachar, that we should understand the times in which we live and know what it is that Israel needs to do. Church people, scripture was talking to. And I don't think the right has very many men of Issachar. Oh, there's some of us who understand the times and know what it is we need to do. But for the most part, the church, if you're looking at the church, they don't have any idea what's going on. They're not doing anything. But the devil's team knows what's going on. Somehow they know. And here's what I really, really believe. They see two generations of underground, covert anti-Americanism being almost completed And all of a sudden, there's a big roadblock. All of a sudden, people are starting to wake up. And they're starting to realize they have not yet finished the deal. America ain't dead yet. Western civilization ain't dead yet. And they have an urgency that our side didn't have. They have an urgency. That's why they're going bonkers. Everywhere you look, they're gone crazy. People say, well, that's because the devil knows his time is short. I don't know if he does or not. By the way, boys and girls, where the devil lives, there ain't no time. Right? There ain't no time. He doesn't see he's not omniscient, all knowing. He doesn't see the beginning from the end. He may know there's trouble coming, but this idea that he knows what's coming and they're just, they know their time is short. Well, no, scripture mentions that the time is short. Scriptures were written 2,000 years ago, and they said the time was short, right? Come on, man. Come on. We live in a time-space continuum. The Lord's outside that time-space continuum. The devil's outside that. Demons are outside that. They're trying to get into it. That's what the whole thing about demonic oppression and possession and influence, they're trying to get into this time-space continuum. And they can't just get in unless they have a vehicle to be able to gain entrance. You see a lot of them. They're gaining some entrance, I got to tell you that. Oh, my goodness. Just bear with me here today. I got to do this first, Jared. Pardon me, folks. I got to put my glasses back on here. Jared, let me get to my screen here. Usually, folks, I have another computer. I'm using one screen. Guys, this is amazing. I want you to go. Jared, clear down at the bottom, about midway down, it says Jim Field. Jim Field. I want you to click on that. That's why you got to be careful with the internet. Okay? Folks, listen, we have to be careful with the internet. I'm going to show you something. Everybody get that up on your screen. Because I have followed this website a lot. Just every once in a while, there'd be a good article that would come up on it, and I'd follow it, and it's called Fellowship of the Minds in a Time of Universal Deceit, Telling the Truth is a Revolutionary Act. And it looks like it's got a lot of alt-left stuff. We have to be careful about infiltrators. Don't really know much. But I want you to scroll down here, Jared, clear on down, because guys, remember the guy who the white supremacist guy who showed up and ran over everybody? Well, his name was Jim Fields, I think it is. James Alex Fields Jr. Do you see that? It says rammed his car into a group of counter demonstrators, killing a liberal, Heather Heidel. Well, so here we go. Here come the conspiracy theories. Keep on going down here, Jared. So some guy, this was posted on the 15th, way on down. Here's some evidence, folks. Uh-oh, white supremacist leader. Go ahead, Jared. I'm sorry, I should have had you queued up. But folks, bear with me. It's going to be worth it, I promise you. Keep on going. They're showing that this was a staged event, yada, yada, yada. We know how that works. Southern Poverty Law Center. I may talk about them later on. Keep going. All of a sudden, they come with this guy who says, wait a minute. This whole narrative down in Charlotte, it's a lie. Can I show you why it's a lie? Keep on going on down there, Jared. If you've never been to this site, there's usually a lot of interesting stuff on it. They're talking about the Jews. It's a guy that's Jews staged, the crisis actors, yada, yada. Keep going. Yeah, because I was doing just like we're doing right now. I was just scrolling down through it. And all of a sudden, here we go. The driver. Stop right there a minute, Jared. James Alex Fields, allegedly Charlotte's attacker, appears in court. There he is from Ohio. And this guy said, ooh, from Ohio. So we don't believe anything on the internet, right? So all these sleuths begin to start doing some reach. Keep going on down. They said, this isn't really him. This really isn't him. Keep on going, saying, look, I said, oh, he's from Ohio. No, he's not. No, they did research, Facebook page. No, they said, here he is. There's Jim Field. There he is. Hold it right there, Jared. There it is. James Field 32. That's him. That's the guy who really did it. Keep going on down a minute. Shows he's from Newark, Ohio. Keep on going down. Jared, I got you. Oh, look at this. There it is. See, there's the guy that they said did it in the middle. And there's Jim Field, the one that really did it. And look at the driver in the car. You can tell it's that Jim Field that's got the military outfit on. That's who it is. There's only one problem. Jim Field, the military guy, is my daughter's high school boyfriend. He lives a mile and a half from me. And so now they have smeared Jim Field by saying that he was the guy, He is the real guy. It's a real setup. Look, he's in military garb. It's unbelievable. This is why you got to be really careful when you get on the internet. See, some sleuth got in there, and he thinks now this Jimmy Field. I call him Jimmy. They think Jimmy's the one who's right. Jim Field. He was in the military. Crazy stuff. I told my son, get a hold of Jimmy Field, sue somebody for about $8 million because they're accusing him of being the guy who drove the car. Isn't that something? That guy has been in my house. I don't even know how many times. He dated my daughter in high school. His classmate. And this guy says he's the real shooter. See, he's the real one. Oh, my goodness, my goodness. So, listen, I want to shift gears on you because I'm at the prophecy conference here. Hear the watchman. And I want to preface this by saying right at the top of it, I'm not making fun of anybody. I'm not besmirching anybody or anything. I love listening to the prophecies. I love listening to them. Man, I do. Russ Dizdar is here. You guys all know Russ. L.A. Marzulli is here. And Derek Prince. And I can just go on and on. Michael Lake. I mean, there's going to be some great prophecy stuff here. Great. Studying the heavens and everything that's going on. And it really makes my head spin. You know, it's like listening to these guys. Wow. Wow, and now the eclipse. Wow. Whoa. The heavens, it's going on. It's coming down. And I don't know if you guys are following it or not. They say that, the stars are just aligning perfectly. I said, I'm not making fun of anybody. Stars are aligning just perfectly. We've never seen an eclipse like this. There's going to be an alignment of the stars that's never lined up like this, not ever in the history of the time. World, this is the only time. And it's surely a sign that Jesus is coming. And Jesus told us to what the signs of the time were. Blah, 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 blah. So I said, well, that's all good and it's all true. But if there's a rapture, and the rapture's coming September 23rd, which some guys are naming the date, September 23rd. Not guys here. We'll show you something in a minute. Rapture's coming September 23rd. Let me ask you a question. What can you do about it? What can you do about it? The rapture's coming. If there is a rapture, and it's coming September 23rd. First of all, when I suppose the name dates, we all understand. If you got a download from God, you personally got a download from God, he shows up at the foot of your bed and says, listen, I'm the great I am, and here's what I'm telling you. It's coming September 25th. What would you do? What would you do? Could you do anything to stop it? Could you do anything to prepare for it? That you're going to be sucked out of here in a month? What could you do about it? Go build a big fortress and try to hide in it so that it's got, maybe it's got concrete roof and you won't go through the roof? I mean, what could you do? What can you do about it? And we're out here in Boise, Idaho. Folks, there are so many people here in Boise, Idaho. There are so many people here that they say for the eclipse, this is the number one place in America to see the eclipse. The number one place. Boise, Idaho, up in the mountain. There are so many people here that they say it'll be a 9-hour drive. What would be normally a 2-hour drive? It'll be a 9-hour drive home from the eclipse viewing on Monday after it's over. The moving parking lot. So many people, pagans, stargazers, all the Wiccans, they're all here. They're all here to see this eclipse. And we're here. And we didn't come because of the eclipse. We came because of Hear the Watchman, but it just happened to be there. So we're going to go watch the eclipse too, which lasts, by the way, 1 hour and 55 minutes. I'm sorry, 1 minute and 55 seconds, the total eclipse of the sun. And that's it. Jesus will be here. He got his plane ticket. He'll be here on September 23rd. Coming. So, asking myself to self, if it's all true, what can I do? I might as well go lock myself in a room and eat my favorite food all day, stuff myself as much as I can, and just stay in and enjoy my food. Just sit in there and just enjoy it, never come out ever again. I've got a month left. Well, not just me. grandkids, they only got a month left. The world's only got a month left. If I knew that it was coming September 25th, would I be doing anything differently than I am today? And that's one of the great deceptions that we have in the church. Is there anything we can do about it? They tell us. It's coming. Coming. Keep your lamps trimmed. It's coming September 25th. You guys think I'm crazy, don't you? Let me show you something. Here's part of our problem in the church, okay? Here's part of it. What are we supposed to do? What are we supposed to do? Okay, Jared. I've got a few things here. Boys and girls, bear with me a second. Jared, let's do this. See, I think we're in a situation where we either have rapture or revival, to be honest with you, kind of the way I see it. Jared, click on that 3-minute video, Revelation 12, the second one, rapture or revival. Now, folks, stay with me, okay? Stay with me here. Watch this 3-minute video. Go ahead, Jared, play that one, rapture or revival.
Hello and welcome. Today, I want to briefly discuss with you a very important topic in which the sun, the moon, and the stars will align with perfection to fulfill a 2,000-year-old prophecy, perfection only found from the creator of heaven and earth. This prophecy was written down in the book of Revelation, the last book in the Holy Bible, directly from Jesus. This book was given to us so that we would know the time of the end, what to expect, and to know what would happen. Let's read Revelation 12 together. And there appeared a great wonder in heaven, a woman clothed with the sun, and the moon under her feet, and upon her head a crown of 12 stars. And she, being with child, cried, travailing in birth, and pain to be delivered. So what we see written here is the constellation Virgo, which is known as the woman, who is clothed with the sun. That means the sun is currently in the constellation Virgo. The moon is under her feet, and above her head is a crown of 12 stars. And Jupiter enters her belly, stays there for 9 months, and exits, showing a birth. So in this very descriptive passage, we see all phases, the sun, the moon, and the stars all coming together to form a picture of a birth. And again, lastly, the 9 stars from Leo always above her head, plus the 3 wandering stars align perfectly for the crown. God himself spoke through the prophet Daniel and said these things would be sealed up until the time of the end, as in nobody would really understand until the end came. Thanks to technology, we have a program called Stellarium. It allows us to go forward and backward in time and see how the stars align. Because as they have seen, every star, every planet known as a wandering star, follows a mathematical equation. This alignment has never happened. In the beginning, in the book of Genesis, God himself says the sun, the moon, and the stars will be for signs, and for seasons, and for days, and for years. This prophecy is no exception. What's also really interesting is when Jesus was telling his apostles of when he will return, he himself said that there would be signs in the sun and the moon and in the stars and upon the earth distress of nations, as in much trouble going on, as we see now. Hopefully by now you see that this topic is worthy of your time for further investigation. This is something that you can see with your very own eyes and confirms that the Bible is true. If you haven't done so, please seek Jesus Christ today, as time may be running out. God bless, and please share this with everyone you know.
Cool. So fascinating. Fascinating. I mean, really, it is. It's fascinating. What am I supposed to do? What am I supposed to do? It's saved. I'm already saved. Okay. What am I supposed to do now? What? Do I go pack my bags? No, I can't take stuff with me. I'm inviting somebody in the queue to tell me what I'm supposed to do now. Can somebody tell me what I need to do?
Take action.
What? Do what? What am I supposed to do?
Share the gospel.
Share the gospel?
That's it. Okay. Share the gospel.
That's it. Because why? Hey, Jared, Matthew 24. Get that for me, Matthew 24. Okay. See, in football, I call it a scouting report. So I call it a scouting report. Or Rob Serling called it a signpost. Twilight zone, signpost up ahead. Next stop, the twilight zone, right? The signpost, right? So they come to Jesus. He said, hey, Lord, what's it? Jesus went out and departed from the temple, and his disciples came in and showed the buildings of the temple. And Jesus said, see not all these things, verily I say unto you, there shall not be left one stone upon another, shall not be thrown down. He sat upon the Mount of Olives. The disciples came to him and said, hey, Jesus, tell us something, man. When's this going to happen? What shall be the sign of your coming and end of the world? Jesus answered and said to them, hey, first of all, buddy, don't let anybody deceive. Huh? Talking about deception right away. And sorry about the reflection on the glasses. For many shall come in my name, saying, I'm the Christ, shall deceive many, and you're going to hear wars, rumor of wars. See that you be not troubled, for these things must come to pass, but the end's not near. For nation shall rise against nation, kingdom against kingdom. There shall be famines and pestilence, earthquakes in diverse places. And all these things are just the beginnings as far as. Then they're going to deliver you up to be afflicted, and you shall and shall kill you. Have they done that to us yet? They shall deliver you up. Can the rapture come till we're being delivered up and afflicted? Then they shall deliver you up, be afflicted, and they shall kill you, and you shall be hated of all nations for my name's sake. And then you shall many be offended, shall betray one another, and shall hate one another. Many false prophets shall rise, deceive many, because of iniquity shall abound, love many shall grow cold. But he that endures until the end, same shall be saved. And this gospel of the kingdom shall be preached unto all the world for witness unto all the nations, and then shall the end come. So you can sure take that scripture and say, ah, there's a war, and there's a rumor of a war, and there's a pestilence, and oh, my goodness, and there's brother against brother. Whoa, it's the end times. Now look in the stars. See what's going on there? I'm not making fun of it, okay? I'm not making fun of it. Jesus said, look at the signs and see what's going on around you. But do you have any idea? Be careful what I say. How many people are studying prophecy that couldn't care less about what's going on around them? They're alive, breathing, heart beating here and now. They couldn't care less about doing anything about what's going on around them. You think Jesus told them, hey, go sit over in a bus stop. I'll pick you up here. Pick you up on September 23rd. Is that what he wants us to do? Not have any impact at all in the society around us? So we're being, the old paralysis by analysis thing is upon us, the way I see it. Okay, now hang on. I got to. Bear with me, guys. I gotta make my argument here for you. Then I'll let you go. Then we come across a. I got another video. Which one, Jared? I want to make sure I do this right. Yeah. Oh, Jared. No. Let's do this. Hey, Jared. Go to the email. It says numbers and the eclipse. I got this from my buddy Michael. I'm not making fun of anybody, Michael. I'm certainly not making fun of you. This is all fascinating to me. This whole numerology thing, all fascinating. I'm going to do a show on it. But Jared, pull up that email for us there. did you get it? Okay, I'm sorry. I'm should give you a little bit because this is really fascinating. Numerology and, you know, 3 being God's perfect number, 7 being the number of completion, 33rd degree made. I got a lot of stuff. We'll do a show on it, okay? I promise you, we'll do a show on it. But I want you to see this right here that I just got this from Michael. Michael, I'm not making fun of you. I'm not making fun of anybody out there. Okay, hey, listen to this now. Here, Mike sent me this email. And just, to me, this makes me scratch my head because it's cool. Sorry about the reflection of my eyes. Here's what he says. It mentions the eclipse coming 40 days before the Jewish calendar of Elul starts. Well, from what I understand, is what they call the Day of Atonement or payment for sin. Fascinating that God's judgment flooded the earth 40 days and 40 nights. Moses led his people in the wilderness 40 years. Jesus fasted 40 days and 40 nights, tempted by Satan. I've often mentioned the number 33 before and how it is absolutely would not leave me alone until I understood it. Like the highest degree in the Masons is 33. Humanist Manifesto, you talked about 1933, signed by 33 people to the power going out to the 2012 Super Bowl during the demon. Beyonce's halftime show was 33 minutes. The Dow dropped 33 days points day before, but the 33rd president launching the first nuke to Clinton's 33,000 emails. the passenger flight shot down over the Ukraine to entice a conflict with Russia at 33,000 feet. Case of Ebola being a doctor at age 33. First death in America from Ebola on the 33rd parallel. The 33rd parallel is where Jesus proclaimed the gates of hell shall not prevail since the proclamation. For example, Kennedy's assassination, Trinity nuclear site, Bohemian Grove, Charleston killing, 9 times 3. It's all 33. It's all 33. Nagasaki, 33rd degree parallel. Hiroshima, 33 degree. First Masonic temple recently bombed, launched under, blah, blah, blah. All 33s. You understand? So look, the eclipse, I'm down a little bit bottom now. Or the year of we established judgment, 1776. Yeah. But here, stay with me. God's impending judgment that I haven't heard from anyone else as the eclipse enters America on the 33rd state, exiting on the 33rd parallel, where the day will become night, just as it did when Jesus was crucified at age 33, with the threat of World War III breaking out at any given time. I do not think any of us should be taking this lightly. Okay, cool. Oh, that is so awesome. All those numbers are so awesome. Now, here's my question. What should I do about it? Hey, Silver, what should I do about it now that I know that God uses numbers? The numbers are important to him. And numbers are important to the devil. Now what do I do?
It's important to recognize the numbers and that type of thing. And you can use those as examples in your preaching of the gospel.
Mm-hmm.
Because we can't just do it haphazardly and blindly to anybody. We have to be led of the Lord.
Amen.
To do...
But these numbers are just bread like Hansel and Gretel. They're just little breadcrumbs, right? Little things showing us that the Bible is true.
Any way you want.
And they're important. I'm not denying that. I can get into the demonic realm, why numbers matter. My question is, okay, now I know this. Now what am I supposed to do? What am I supposed to do, Bobby? Hey, Bobby,
listen,
what am I supposed to do?
Yeah, here's my response. I'm tired of the weakness. I'm tired of the Christian weakness. I was a teenager in the 80s, and I think I said before a lot of weeks ago that my whole life, all I've ever heard of was the rapture. I grew up in a Baptist church next to this government project I grew up in one of the poorest counties in Kentucky. And from the beginning, it was all about the rapture my whole life. Yep. Listen, 2017. I'm going to learn how to fix robots. They got AI rolling out right now. Like Alex Jones says, we're in a science fiction movie right now. Elon Musk is wanting to develop a fleet of spaceships to colonize Mars right now. The technology exists. All of that said, there's fights and wars going on all around us in the streets, in the schools, and everything else, while we pathetic, cowardice Christians lay down and expect this mythical created rapture, I think it was created theology in the 1830s, and we'll lay down and do nothing. I've spent a big part of my life fighting. I've done martial arts, kickboxing, the whole deal. I took a fight up in Scranton about 6-7 years ago. It was the last fight of the night, and it was the best fight of the night. And I was probably knocked down 3 nights, not once. You know, it was a good, everybody was going crazy. It was that kind of fight. But you know what I heard? You got to be able to think when you're fighting. And very few people can do it. Very few people can think while you're getting punched in the face. What are you going to do? You know, you got gloves laying on your face and you're thinking, you're literally thinking. Not many people can do that. And I heard people say, when I was knocked down a couple times, don't get up. I got up, right? And the end of the fight, people were coming over to me, and even the guy that beat me, everybody came over to me telling me what a great fight that was. You know, us cowardice Christians need to learn how to get punched in the face and fight.
But Bobby, this whole rapture there. Whether you believe the rapture, I'm not even going to argue about it. If you believed it, if you believed the rapture was coming, what would you do? Would you just be sitting around, or would you be going and telling everybody else? See, and the rapture has become a reason for people not to get involved. It's the end. Because it's the end, it's a waste of time. Why are we going to do it? So whether it comes, but like I said, if there's a rapture, I'm out of here. I know I'm on that bus. I know I'm on it. What What should the rapture, the thought of the rapture of the end times, what should it motivate us to do? This is the point, folks, that I'm trying to make here today on this show. And I'm going to show you, two things here, okay? Bear with me, please, bear with me. I'm making a point. This is why I think we're not being successful. Do you guys know how much I love my grandbabies? You have any idea how much I love those little
almost as much as I do.
And I want to bet what's best for them. I want a future for them. And every day that we sit around and wait on the rapture, the future is getting bleaker and bleaker for my grandbabies. Now, if the rapture comes on September 23rd, or pick November 25th, I don't care, pick your date, then it doesn't really matter what I did with my grandbaby or what I did in the culture. But if it doesn't, the rapture doesn't come. The rapture doesn't come for 50 years. And what I'm doing now really impacts my grandchildren, doesn't it? And what is it? What would the Lord have us to do? Would the Lord have us study the stars? Or would he have us occupied till he returns? This is the great debate in my mind. This is the great debate, okay? Now, I got to show you two clips here that I hope are going to try to tie this whole thing together. Jared, go to the one that says rapture or revival. No. Yeah, rapture. No, we played that one, didn't we? Let's go to the one that says... Eclipse, Dabo, play that one. This is about 5 minutes. And then I'm going to piggyback that one with another. Okay. So here's part of the Christian world doing this. Let me get here. Oh, I know what it is. This is Dabo talking about, what's going on here in Boise. Go ahead and see if you can pull that up, Jared. Yeah. Go ahead and play. We may not watch the whole thing, but watch this. Okay. Go ahead.
This is Dabu 7. An update to this eclipse that is approaching. This is going to be a once-in-a-lifetime event for some. And this is expected to go down on August 21st, this full solar eclipse.
Monday.
I talked about this in other videos. I've talked about...
There's the path of the eclipse.
And the greatest point of this eclipse... And then you can see the greatest duration are both happening right here. I plan to be at one of the two or right in between the two. And I'm going to try to pull off some unique stuff while this is going down in terms of catching the whole stream and sharing it with everyone else. But during this, we have a few things going into motion, especially on the West Coast where this is going to begin. Lincoln County. They're saying from Pacific City to Waldport that this eclipse will last as long as 2 minutes. And what's going to happen here is they're expecting an influx of individuals. And they're actually treating this whole thing like it's a natural disaster. Some people are saying that this is way overblown. Some people are asking questions as to why over such an event would there be this much preparation. Them telling folks to get ready to shelter in place during this. So telling them to have plenty of food, gas, and to plan to be able to make it through several days without cell phone service. Saying that the lines are going to be down and jammed because so many people are coming to this area.
They're okay, Jared, you can stop that.
More than
it's you go. You guys, we'll give you the link. You can watch the link if you want to. I'm not making fun of it. Where is the focus? The focus is on us in the end time. That's all this focus. Now, I want to shift gears with you. And we'll play a clip from Rodney Howard Brown. A lot of people don't like Rodney Howard Brown because holy laughter. I mean, we let's be honest. We Christians, we fight with each other. We rather fight with each other than the enemy. You know, if we try... We so outnumber the God haters. Oh my goodness, we so outnumber them. But we don't like each other. We can't reconcile with one another within Christianity, right? So here we are, out here where a vast majority, thousands and thousands and thousands of Christians are focusing on the stars, on the sun and the moon. There are thousands and thousands and thousands are focusing on them. And here's Dr. Rodney Howard Brown with Alex Jones focusing on the culture and what's going on around us. and talking about the power that is available to Christians to make a difference here and now. And as you listen to Dr. Brown here, ask yourself, which one is right? Should we be spending all of our times running up in the mountains to watch the sky? Or should we be working here to occupy till he returns? Listen to the faith that comes out of Rodney Howard Brown's mouth about how we Christians, if we were to appeal to God, all get on the same page, the tide would turn. This is about 8 minutes, but I think it's worth it for you to hear. This is on the Alex Jones Show. Don't send me an email about, do I know about Rodney Howard Brown? Don't send me an email about that. Yes, I know. Don't send me an email. Okay? Should we be looking at the stars or should we be occupying here? That's the question. This is about 8 minutes. Go ahead, Jared.
That God would wreak havoc in the camp of the enemy, that he would turn on themselves like a dog on its own tail, and that God is, the church is going to wake up, and the preachers need to, excuse me, Alex, the preachers need to grow a pair and stand up in the pulpit and call a spade and say it just like it is and draw a line in the sand and tell the devil, you're not going to have America. God has heard our prayer. He gave us Donald J. Trump as a last minute reprieve. And I don't believe God answers prayer for us suddenly now to be set back. And so I understand their plan to take him out, but they are not going to succeed, not on our watch. And we are not going quietly into history. They're smoking some incredibly bad weed if they think we're going quietly into history.
I'm going to skip this break so you have even more time. This, you're on fire, and it's total truth. And I had absolutely forgotten that Soros and all of...
Are we going quietly into history? Sitting in the mountains watching the sun? Are we going to go quietly into history? I have to tell you this. I agree with Dr. Brown. Which one are we going to do? Bobby Lee, are we going to sit around with a bunch of wimpies and go silently into history? Keep playing it, Jared.
Announced and spent hundreds of millions that July 2nd, the new revelation was coming. They were going to start race wars in America, and they think we're so stupid that it all fizzled out, but then it finally happened on Soros' birthday. They've announced it all, and then there's new levels of lying they're putting out against all of us. But as you said, you're right. Well, there's providence here, so please continue. I am going to leave now, or I'm going to be interrupting. I want the other co-host to jump in, but keep laying out what you're saying, because what you're saying is what's in my heart, what's intellectual, I understand, but also folks I know in the Pentagon, people I know that have been high-level CIA, State Department, not just Pachinik, they're saying exactly what you're saying and naming names. It's criminal elements of the CIA, not the whole CIA, but the deep state leftist, and they are so angry because he's turning the economy around. The blessings are coming back in when he, on January 20th, asked for God to...
So I want you to listen now. Rodney Howard Brown talks about the power of God, what the power of God could do. Should we be watching the stars? Or should we be calling on the power of God to fall? Go ahead, Jared.
Come back into America and providence, and they use the name Jesus Christ. I mean, this is powerful, and this is clearly a spiritual war because they hate Christians. That's why they fund Orthodox Islam to attack Christians. So you've got 10 minutes to break or 12 minutes to break, and we've got the crew here. Lay out, Pastor Brown, what we're facing, and then please give people your website so people can learn more about your powerful teaching. You'll be here with us till 40 after, but you can stay longer too. We've got another member of your great international and national organizations that also prays with Trump, Mr. Pena, joining us, but please continue.
Okay, so here's what they're trying to do. Obviously, they're trying to label everybody as a white extremist, as a racist. Our church here in Tampa is totally integrated. We have every tribe and tongue. We've been working in the inner city of Tampa. The church is 20 years old. I can go anywhere in the inner city, and the people love us because they know how we've helped them and what we're doing. So the fact of the matter is this, what they want to try to do is go from what they call alt-right and KKK, white supremacists, and then label Christians. Conservative Christians are going to fit the bill too. So this is like almost like a Salem witch trial, where they're going to go on this hunt. You know, they first of all want to take out the president because he's actually speaking on behalf of the people. And I didn't see anything wrong with what the president said on his first statement or even his second statement. I can't believe how the media would take everything and just twist it. So this is obviously a concerted effort of the media coming together with one purpose and one goal to just label the president and try to put pressure on him to just quit throwing the towel. But, Mr. President, if you are watching or listening, don't stop. The American people are behind you. And here's the thing. In the 1700s, if you go back and look at England in the mid-1700s, about 1740, 1750, the UK was in the biggest upheaval. The whole of the country was, everybody was drinking. There were drunkards from the royal family all the way down. The British people had a bad name on the continent, in the rest of Europe. If you mentioned that you were British, they would almost like, you know, spit. It was a bad name. All the music, all the plays, all the poems had with foul language, coarse. The penal code was so strict because of the crimes were so bad. Human slavery was at an all-time high. But then God sent a revival that started with the Wesley brothers that actually shook across England and actually jumped across the pond that really caused the first great awakening in America with people like George Whitefield and Jonathan Edwards and Peter Cartwright. The city of Boston only had 25,000 people in the population at the time, and they would preach and the crowds would come. And there was opposition, of course. People would actually moon them. They would urinate in their direction. But the city had to pass a law that no one could sit in the trees, because as they preached, the power of God would fall, and people would fall out of the trees under the power. So that's what shook early America. And even coming to the 1800s in Cambridge, Kentucky, when 25,000 people gathered, the city of Lexington only had 1,800 people in the population, but 25,000 people gathered. So God sent a great awakening in the 1700s and the 1800s, and America was in an upheaval. You know, before the foundation of this land, you had 13 rebel colonies, but God brought this nation together as one nation under God. Yes, there was a problem. Yes, there were problems with slavery and all that kind of stuff. But through divine providence, this became a nation woven together by the hand of God. And I'm not saying that America's been innocent, because as you and I know, that America's been got hijacked from the foundation of our Federal Reserve. And then the IRS that polices the American people all the way down through the years, how they took over the education, how they begin to dumb down the people, how they even took over the seminaries, and they begin to take the word of God and make it of none effect, basically denying the virgin birth, denying the resurrection, and taking the power of God away from the churches. This was all a planned design that took place many, many years ago. Then you saw prayer taken out of schools. Then you saw the Ten Commandments taken from the courthouses. So we have a whole generation now that have been raised up. They have no fear of God, and they've been pumping the filth through Hollywood, through television, through everything possible, and entertainment, basically, to put the people into the trance that they're in right now. And you could see with NBC and ABC and CNN and all of these news agencies that basically are controlled by the same people that are basically pumping night and day. I was walking through the airport in Hong Kong, and there was CNN, and I could read the ticker tape, and everything was just attacking Trump night and day, night and day. So they're on an agenda right now, but I believe that we're going to see divine intervention. And I believe with all my heart that God is going to shake America from the White House to every house, from sea to shining sea, from Maine to the Keys to San Diego to Seattle, across the great state of Alaska, the Hawaiian chain, to the island nation of Guam, American Samoa, to Puerto Rico, that God is not finished with America. I don't care what the media says. I don't care what the papers say. I don't care what they're trying to stir up in our ineffective Congress or even our Senate, where that whole place has been bought and is under the control of a cabal that basically runs the show. But God put an outsider in to give America one last opportunity. And I believe that we are going to see another great spiritual awakening. That's why they're so upset. That's why they're trying to do everything that they can. That's why they just label you. If you don't agree with them, then you must be a racist. Well, guess what? We're not racist. We love God and we love people. We love people of every tribe and every tongue. And so God is moving in our land. I have a Bible school here. We have had 500 students here this morning, and I addressed them. I spoke about some of these things. The place went wild. People understand, and we have every tribe and tongue in our Bible school. So God is raising up an army of men and women that will not compromise, that will not sit with one foot in the world and one foot in the kingdom of God. God's raising up preachers that are not worried about their tax-exempt status, that will boldly speak out from the pulpits of the land, and that will say exactly what needs to be said. And I feel it's happening, Alex. I feel God is doing that, and we are seeing a groundswell. I believe there are more that are with us than are with them. These people are a minority that make the biggest amount of noise and try to act out like they're a majority, and that's not the case. So I believe we're going to see the hand of God.
Okay. I could go on and on and on. This continues to be very inspiring. Hey, guys, listen. Would the Lord right now have us be praying for revival or rapture? What is it that the Lord would want the church to be praying for? And what is the church spending all of its time and all of its focus on? We're watching the stars. We're watching the stars. And there's a coup. There's an anti-Christian coup going on in America.
It's all distraction,
brother. They're not doing anything about it. And we are, our pastors are just, they've given up. They don't believe God can do anything at all. Look at the star. You see the contrast? You see the contrast? Who's right? Rodney Howard Brown or those stargazers? Jesus said, you hypocrites. Because you can sit on your porch and see the storm clouds building and know that it's going to be a warm day, or clear, see the storm clouds building, know it's going to be a storm. You hypocrites, why can't you discern the signs of the times? That's the question of the questions. What is wrong with us that we can't see the times in which we live, and we view them as only the end rather than a great opportunity for God to come in and do a miraculous work in the midst of us? Is the church praying for revival? Is the church united in their stance behind Donald Trump and Make America Great? Is the church united? Is the church covering with prayers? Is the church believing for miracles? The end time revival, the end time pouring out of the spirit that the prophet Joel talks about, that pour out my spirit upon all flesh, sons and daughters shall prophesy, old men shall dream dreams, young men see visions. Is the church believing for that, praying for that? Or are we studying the stars, waiting to get out of here? Don't you see why we are so powerless? Somebody jump in here.
We're focused on the wrong thing.
How's that happen?
The signs of the times, such as the stars, are a tool for witnessing to those who unbelieve. Okay? To show them, Scripture says this is going to happen. We're seeing it happen. What is your status? Do you know who Jesus is? It's just a tool for us to use.
That's right. Quit studying the films. Go play. Quit studying the films. And we're not. We're studying the films. We're studying the book. Oh, look, this is what it says is going to happen. Yeah? So what are you going to do? What are you going to do? Yeah, Vince.
Hey, I wanted to remark on something Bobby said just before about AI. See, people don't realize this part. When AI fully comes into ascendance.
By AI, what do you mean? What do you mean for us slow learners, Vince? AI.
I'm talking about artificial intelligence.
Thank you.
Right, so when it comes into ascendance, why does anyone think that it's going to wait for instructions from us? People should really think about that.
Well, Vince, not only that, see, even though it's real and Bobby's right there, tell us it's coming. Vince, we're going to be raptured before any of that happens. Right? That's the attitude of the church.
Right.
That's why so many will lose their faith in God.
Which they didn't have in the first place.
You take the mark, you're doomed. Period.
Exactly. No, don't take the mark of the beast.
So should we? So should we be praying for a revival or rapture?
Revival.
Oh, revival. Why aren't we? For sure.
Are our churches praying and believing for revival?
No.
Are the churches doing everything they can right now to stand up and push back against the forces of darkness that are slaughtering their children and destroying marriage and rewriting American history and tearing down the Ten Commandments and the flag will be next and prayer out of the schools and Bible reading out of the schools and we continue to look in the stars? Tens of thousands of people are going to be here to study the stars.
There's two churches.
Coach, they're giving the children to those freaks. We need to tell them that children are not sex toys.
There's two churches, Coach. There's a carnal church and there's a spiritual church.
Hey, Coach.
Yeah, George. Hey, you're up. Good morning, George. George is here with us.
Hey, good morning, Coach. Hey, you know what? I don't believe in the rapture one bit, but let me speak to my rapture brethren here. Okay, just for a minute. Think along these lines. Even if you believe in the rapture and you're not going to get off that, why wouldn't you want to go out and evangelize now, tell everyone you can about the Lord Jesus Christ and win their souls? Because isn't it selfish for you to escape all this tribulation but yet leave people behind that you could have influenced, make your country better in the meantime? Don't you think that's kind of selfish? Because I think some of these rapture people, they'll never get off it. But think about it from a logical standpoint. Even if you believe in the rapture, you should still be working your tail end off to build the kingdom.
I'm with you, George.
Excellent.
Yeah, and let's ask ourselves this question.
Why can't you do both?
Do you guys believe the Bible? Do you guys all believe the Bible? Well, say, yeah, yeah. You go into churches. Hey, you guys believe the Bible? Oh, yeah, we're Bible believers in here. That's for sure. Our pastor, he preaches the Bible. Yes, sirree. Jesus is coming. This earth, the sky's about to split. Okay, well, let me ask you something. What about that verse that says that it is appointed unto man once to die? Isn't the rapture going to heaven without dying? Appointed unto a man once to die, and after that, the judgment. Isn't the rapture going to heaven without dying? Somebody help me here.
Great point, Coach. Hey, George, I'd like to piggyback on your what you said for just a second. It is so important that even, you know, like you say, those that do believe in the rapture, they need to make a decision whether they're going to use their belief in the rapture as a motivator to whatever. But if it's to preach the gospel that they're preaching in most cases is not the full gospel. It's not enough truth to create children of God. Now, I start simply on one very simple verse to prove this. See, John, the book of John, chapter 1, verse 12. To as many as received him, the him is speaking of Jesus, to them, the them is those who received him, those who received Jesus, to the ones who received Jesus, he, Jesus, gave. Now, you read that verse. Don't take my word for it. Turn to it and read it.
Where is it, Larry?
John chapter 1, verse 12. As many as received him, to them he gave. What did he give them? He gave them
the
right, privilege, authority, or power. That Greek word can be translated any of those ways, to become children of God.
That's
receiving Jesus did not make those who received him children of God, but it did give them the equipment, the power, the authority, the path, or whatever. If they choose to go on in obedience to God, they can become his children. God does not adopt people into his kingdom who haven't made a quality decision to obey him. Key word there being words being quality and obey.
Amen.
And that gospel not
John,
being
preached. John 1, 12, but as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God. Even to them that believe on his name, he gave them the power to become. Larry, that's pretty deep, buddy.
Amen, Larry.
It's pretty deep. It's pretty. Come on, jump in here. We got about 5 minutes left.
If the gospel you're preaching preaches that is receiving Jesus makes you a child of God, you are creating wannabes that are going to end up in hell if they don't receive enough truth to correct their mistake.
Folks, here's a point Larry is making. When people receive Christ, whatever that means, they receive Christ, they've accepted Jesus, they've invited him into their heart, then and only then do they receive the power to become his son. They are not his son simply because they received that power. In fact, the scripture says to work out your own salvation with fear and trembling, to work it out, to become a son of God. Man, Larry, that... Hey, let me finish on a kind of a light note here. Can I do it? Yeah, I got time. Hey, Jared, when I was down in Louisville, Kentucky, they made a quick 2-minute video I want to share with everybody today. My wife said this to me. I guess it sounds like I'm bragging. I showed this to my wife. I didn't make it. Somebody else made it. My wife said, honey, have you got away with words? And this guy walks up to me. I'm standing in the middle of the street between two downtown Louisville, right in front of the abortion clinic, holding this sign. This guy comes up and turns on the camera and says, hey, what do you got to say, coach? And here's what I got to say. You tell me, fellas, this isn't profound. Jared, it says, what does it say? Get a boat. Get a boat, Jared. Get a boat. 2 minutes.
Folks, we're here in Louisville, Kentucky, trying to obey our Lord when he said that we are to rescue those who are unjustly led to slaughter. You know, I got thinking about that term rescue. What does it mean to rescue somebody? I had a conversation with a guy the other day out on the street, actually. He was a Jehovah's Witness. He was trying to share with me the gospel. I just asked him, I said, well, brother, do you obey the commandment to rescue those who are unjustly led to slaughter? He says, what do you mean? I said, well, those little unborn babies, the abortion clinic. Do you guys, the church, you ever go out to the abortion clinic and try to stop the slaughter? And he says, no. He says, no, we've never really done that. He says, no, we're pro-life, and we pray that the abortion would end. I said, well, let me ask you something. It's a big lake right there where we're standing. We both lived near this lake, and I said, if somebody was out here in Buckeye Lake and he got a call that somebody was drowning, let me ask you a question. Would you run back to your church and start praying for him? Praying that somebody would come and save him? Or would you run down the hill, kick off your shoes, dive in and swim out there and do what you could? Would you go steal somebody's boat and paddle out there and do everything you could to rescue them? See, to understand a very simple principle, in order to rescue somebody, you have to be where they're in danger. You have to be where they are in peril. And so when the Lord said to us, we're going to rescue those who are unjustly led to slaughter, boys and girls, that's where it's happening. They're drowning right over there. We can't sit in your church. Can't sit in your prayer closet and pray that they'll be rescued. Hey, you gotta get a boat, baby. You gotta jump in the water. You gotta run to where they're perishing. Do something great for Jesus today. God bless y'all.
So there's our dilemma, fellas. There, in fact, lies our dilemma.
Amen, coach.
Well, we're studying the rocket, like we're in a rocket ship studying the stars. Listen, I'm not making fun. I love Russ Dizdar and L.A. Marzulli, and I'm learning about the Giants and the MK Ultras, and I love all that stuff. I love all that stuff. But I'll be daggone if I am going to get my underwear in a bunch worrying about an eclipse and the signs that it might be shown. Hey, dudes, I know the end's coming. In fact, every day I get up, I'm closer to my end. I know that. Every day that I get up. And whether I get to see the end or the end gets me before I get to it, it don't matter. All I know is the Lord told me and you, occupy till I return. Will you do that? Will you hold this place for me till I get back? And that is the one thing. And all the rigmarole and all the stuff you hear out of the church, that's the one thing that the church will not do. The church is not interested in occupying. Okay. The church is interested in evacuating.
Hey, Coach.
George.
Real quick, maybe a new church doctrine we should all adopt is, when all is said and done, let there be more done than said.
Let there be more done than said.
Excellent. Right. Actions over words.
Hey, boys, I don't know about you. I'm into occupying, not evacuating. God bless you all. See you Monday. Getting ready for the big eclipse in the end of the day. We'll see you Monday.